Welcome to SCOTUScast. On June 12th, the Supreme Court decided Munaf v. Guerin. The court held that the habeas statute confers jurisdiction on federal district courts to consider the habeas petitions of U.S. citizens asserted to have committed crimes in Iraq and detained by U.S. coalition forces in Iraq, pending a transfer to Iraqi authorities for trial or further proceedings following a vacated conviction in an Iraqi criminal court, but that the writ could not have been invoked for the transfer of detainees to Iraqi authorities, and hence should have been properly dismissed on the merits. In this episode of SCOTUScast, George Mason, University of Law professor, Ron Rotunda, discusses the case. In another episode of SCOTUScast, Richard Epstein offers an alternative view. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Rotunda.
Munaf v. Guerin is an important case and an important win for the federal government. First, the court held that the habeas corpus statute, as a matter of statutory interpretation, extends to American citizens held overseas by American forces, subject to an American chain of command, even if those forces are acting as part of a multinational coalition. However, said the court, unanimously, the petitioners were not entitled to relief based on their habeas corpus petitions. First, federal courts may not use their habeas jurisdiction to enjoin the United States from transferring alleged criminals to a foreign sovereign where the crimes were allegedly committed. The petitioners, Munaf and Omar, were American citizens who traveled to Iraq and allegedly committed crimes there, such as kidnapping for hire. They were captured by the multinational forces in Iraq, in this case, under the control of, ultimately, the United States military. The petitioners' relatives, including one of their multiple wives, filed habeas petitions in the D.C. District Court to prevent the military from turning them over to the Iraqi courts for trial. The court instructed the lower court to dismiss both habeas petitions because they did not seek relief that a habeas court could grant. Petitioners objected to being transferred to Iraqi authorities for criminal proceedings, and because they said they were innocent, but they also objected to the military releasing them, for that would mean that the Iraqis would arrest them and keep them in Iraqi custody. Both requests, said the court, would interfere with Iraq's sovereign rights to prosecute people who allegedly commit crimes on Iraqi soil. The typical remedy for habeas is, of course, release. But the habeas petitioners in these cases do not want release, because that would expose them to confinement by the Iraqi authorities for criminal prosecution, precisely what they want the federal court to avoid. Iraq, said the court, has a sovereign right to prosecute them for crimes committed on its soil, even if its criminal process does not come with all the rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Now, this rule is hardly a new one. During many instances in the last century, the United States has transferred to a foreign government either U.S. citizens pursuant to extradition or U.S. soldiers who commit crimes in a foreign country. The court has held this repeatedly in the past. It would be very odd, said the court, to hold that the executive can transfer soldiers but cannot transfer to an ally detainees captured by our armed forces for engaging, said the court, in serious hostile acts against that ally in what the government refers to as an active theater of combat. Say the courts also approve extradition against the U.S. Citizens, even when the citizens are in the United States. As the court said in the 1901 case, quote, when an American citizen commits a crime in a foreign country, he cannot complain if required to submit to such modes of trial and to such punishment as the laws of that country may prescribe for his own people, end quote. All the justices joined Chief Justice Roberts' opinion. However, Souter filed a two-page concurrence joined by Ginsburg and Breyer, arguing that habeas relief might exist if there was sufficient evidence that torture or other inhumane conditions would result in a transfer, notwithstanding that such a termination is normally one for the executive, that is, as a matter of federal policy, the United States will not turn someone over to a foreign country if we think there might be torture. This is an important win for the federal government. What is surprising is that the D.C. Circuit, in one of the cases, arguing that that an American citizen could not be tried by a foreign country for crimes committed in its jurisdiction and that the United States military must bring them to the United States for those crimes. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected that principle unanimously.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUScast. For more episodes of SCOTUScast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org scotuscast.com/multimedia.